Hello, everyone, and welcome to a very special interview segment of the 1973 podcast. We're here with, I'd like to say, a friend, a coach, Kaylee Smith, D1 hockey player at Sacred Heart. Kaylee, how's it going?
It's going great. Thank you for having me on.
I cannot wait to have an interview with you. I got a couple of personal questions. I'll save them for the end. Mm-hmm. And I'll say that we have a mutual connection through my daughter. And I have a couple questions about that too, whether she's a pain in the ass or not. I want to know, but we'll save that towards the end. Okay. So first of all, I want to start by saying, how did your journey start from small child playing hockey to where you are now? How did it all start?
Yeah, so growing up, I had two older brothers that both played hockey, and my dad was super into it. My dad was like president of my town program, and my mom was like treasurer growing up. So hockey was all around me. I have a really vivid memory of going from dance class with my friends to hockey practice, and all the boys were making fun of me because I was in a pink tutu. So I remember telling my parents, like, oh, I'm quitting dance. Like, I just want to do hockey, which, looking now, I'm super grateful that happened. But it was also very, I think that's just childhood for you. But it was more just following my brother's footsteps. I wanted to be just like them. And my brothers are one's 8 years older than me, and one's 5 years older than me. And they've played on like junior Bruins, they played on Crusaders, which I don't think is a program anymore. Growing up, they put on Flames, so they did the prep school route as well. So I think it was just something to just get closer with them.
Now we'll pause you right there, and I'm going to ask the guys if they have any questions so far. Ed, do you have anything?
I'm going to have to say, what's your favorite memory of like traveling when, like, under 12 when you were playing? Like, where's the place?
Yeah, I played on the Flames growing up. I went to Flames for my first year of U10s, I want to say it was. It was my first all-girls team. I just played boys. And we ended up winning states. And that was like, I think it's still called states. Yeah. We won the state championship for like the club or whatever it is. And I just remember that now I'm on Sacred Heart, and I play with the girl that scored the winning goal in our state like championship. And it's like crazy. It was tier two, but I can remember that so vividly. And my mom has a picture of my face, and my cheeks are like so red. But that was just like a really good feeling. And most of the girls that I played with now play D1, D3, and I'm lucky enough to still play with a couple of them.
So the Lady Flames are out of Marlboro, I believe.
Yeah.
That rink is fantastic.
The banner's still hanging in that rink one, the original rink.
I'll have to look the next time I'm there. I'm interested to see it, but that's cool. So, from there, I noticed that Abbotsford Valley, you played for them too? Was that in your
I don't think so. What was it called?
Abbotsford Valley. I was on the hockey prospects, and they had you listed playing for them. So it's probably my mistake or a typo on there.
Maybe. I played 495 Stars. That was co-ed. I played like Boston Lightning, which was co-ed. After Flames, I went to the Boston Junior Eagles, and I loved that program. I had a lot of fun there. It was really well run. I had like Dave Heimovitz as my coach, and John Joyce, his sons play at BC. And then I ended up leaving and going to Assabet Valley. And I had a very well-known, I had a coach called, his name was Dennis Lang. And he was amazing. He was a great coach. And then we had some issues just with USA Hockey. And he ended up not being able to coach anymore. So then I went to a program called CPC, which was just an in-house kind of, you paid skills and then you had a game in-house, and it was like four teams, and finished out that as my club team while I was playing prep at Cushing.
So when did you decide to go the prep school route? Like what made you decide, going away from like New England Girls, which is a fantastic league, and go more towards like deciding to go prep school? 'Cause we're really close to Tabor Academy. So we're down that way, and I believe Cushing's in that division, I believe.
So both my brothers went to prep school. My dad did a PG year at a prep school, and my uncle went to Tabor and played hockey there. I think that was they won the title whatever year he was there, for boys hockey. I think I remember doing a lot of Premier Prospects, which is run by Kathy Pippi, who also owns. She used to run the Selects program, like it was called World Selects, and I did a couple tournaments with her. I did one in Bolzano, Italy, and then another one in Chamonix, France. And I had a lot of fun there, and I was kind of deciding between going to an academy, like a BK Selects, or staying kind of closer to home and going prep. And I can tell you I probably toured 15 prep schools from Westminster, Exeter, Tabor, New Hampton, Cushing. I looked everywhere. And just I had a lot of friends that were going to Cushing. At that age, we had some girls that were already committed. So my age group was, I was talking to college coaches my eighth grade year. And then come my freshman year, we were told it was going to be cut off. So I had some girls that were like 13 going into high school, already committed to like Northeastern and like verbally committed to Harvard. And then we had like my other half of my grade where girls were just trying to like figure out where they're going to high school. But ultimately, I thought it'd be a good academic fit for me, living on campus, having a really good like structured schedule, is kind of where I found I succeeded. I went to a really small elementary school. I went to like a small Catholic school called St. Bridget's, and that was where I felt that I learned the best was in a small classroom. I ended up going to Framingham Public Schools in middle school and kind of struggled with the class sizes being so big and kind of the lack of like one-on-one with teachers. So going to a small prep school with a very small like student to teacher ratio is super important to me. Cushing was really helpful with learning disabilities. So I have executive functioning, which just kind of prevents me from like learning a foreign language. So kind of them being able to help guide me through that process of getting testing from that and learning how to best study with my learning disability and stuff like that. So that's why I really chose a prep school. I think I would have gone to prep if it even if it wasn't hockey. And then the reason I chose Cushing was really because of my high school coach. Her name's Val Bono. She played at Providence and she's coached at Cushing for I want to say like 15 years, probably more now. She would text me every week, just checking in, seeing how my grades were, seeing how I was, upcoming like games. She was great about just like recruitment. She really cared about you as a person and she got to know your family, which I thought was really nice. I think a lot of prep school coaches are kind of like, well, if you get in and then we'll figure it out from there. So yeah.
Let me pause right there, Tom. I'll let you jump in with a question.
Sure. At what age did something click in you and you figured out that you were really good at it and you wanted to take it a little more serious?
So when I went from the Boston Junior Eagles to Aspet Valley, that's when I kind of discovered that I was maybe a little bit better than just like a town program because the coach, like I said, Dennis Lang, he took me from playing. So I didn't play 2 years of U14. I went straight up to U16 because he was like, you're too good to play on the U14 team, and I'm gonna stack this U16 team. And on that, I think every single girl on that team is now playing Division One. I think it's like four out on BC, two on Harvard, two on Princeton, one's at Colby. I mean, that team was just it was just a lot of girls that were driven to go beyond just high school and the level of play and like the people we'd work with. My skills coach was like Alex Molnar, who's pretty well known now. It was a very well run program. It was very, very hard to keep up with, though. I will say, like, transitioning into that, I mean, it was like, whoa. Like, it was almost like you had to be on every day. But I think that got me really prepared for college. So
I have a question about at what point, in your opinion, as a coach and a player, should a young girl that plays hockey transition to exclusively playing with girls?
I wish I had stayed in boys longer, personally. I have a really good friend, Riley Walsh, who also coaches at Atlantic with me. She played on the Minuteman Flames until they started checking. I would personally stay with boys until checking. I mean, I think it's a faster paced game. I think, honestly, girls are a lot of drama a lot of the time. I think playing on a boys team, it's less drama and like you're on the go, go, go. So I would have stayed at boys longer if I could go back. And looking at girls who came from boys programs, I could name three off the top of my head. Skylar Scharfman, she's going into BC now. She just finished her PG year at Naha. Mia Bonarosa, who is going to Dartmouth. And then Riley Walsh, who was at Union, and now she's going to BU. I would say all three of those came in super late. They were like girls that, like, when I was with my friends, we were like, who is this? How is she, like, who is this girl? How is she from Mass? I think a vivid memory is when they were trying out at festival with us, like going to national camp tryouts. So, I mean, it was a big discrepancy between their skill level and how fast they were and with the girls. So, yeah.
Ed, question for Kaylee.
I sure do. So since you transitioned from prep school to now a Division I school, so what are you doing for like body maintenance, nutrition wise and stuff like that, which, you know, taking that jump from prep, you know, pretty much from like what would be like a high school kind of a program to prep school, I know that that's a big jump, you know, that you're more kind of like a college athlete, more treated more like a Division I college athlete. Now you're playing for a Division I school. What are you doing for yourself body maintenance wise? What are you doing in the off season? What's your nutrition program look like?
Yeah. So my nutrition program, focusing on that, it's just a lot of home cooked meals. I try not to eat out just because I don't know what's really going into my body. So I try to cook as much as I can. Just staying clean. I mean, obviously a cookie once in a while isn't going to hurt me. I'm a big Diet Coke fan, which I hope my mom doesn't listen to that or else she'll be mad. But I would say like a large part of that is like drinking enough water, getting enough sleep. Sleep's a big thing. My team right now is working on getting Whoops, if anyone's familiar with that. It's just like a band that tracks like your sleep, your like menstrual cycle, your like how many calories you're burning for lift and stuff. Just things that as athletes, you really should be tracking. Definitely on recovery. I just had a shoulder injury. Not terrible, just kind of pulled, like strained my shoulder. So for that, I'm doing rehab. Off season, I'm living down at Sacred Heart. So I'm currently in Bridgeport. I work out every morning and I usually skate like 4 times a week. So I'll do like a 4v4 league and then do skills with some of the Sacred Heart girls and some pro girls that skate with us. I would just say like, try not to get burnt out. Hockey's like the longest season. And it is a lot when you're 20 hours a week and like you're also having school and a social life and just like you're on the go, go, go. So I'd say like definitely training in the off season, getting better, doing skills, but trying my best to not get burnt out. I mean, going to prep school, I can note a couple times at Cushing where I definitely got burnt out just with hockey and I mean, like living at your high school is not the I mean, it's definitely fun, but it's not always like the best. So, I would just say balancing it, going into my junior year, I think I found a pretty good balance with it. But definitely, I think my number one thing is just sleep. I'm a huge sleeper and I can't take naps. So making sure I'm going to bed early and waking up at a decent time as well.
I'll have to mention that Ed has got a background in certified training and nutrition. So that's probably why he asked that
Yeah,
question.
that's where it's coming from,
Yeah, we have a nutritionist come in the beginning of the year that kind of talks us through like just what to do pre-games and what to eat the night before, stuff like that, which is my routine's been pretty regular throughout high school and college. We get like meals made for us the night before games and like pre-game skate will get breakfast made for us or lunch taken in. So we're pretty like well fed and everything like that. Definitely protein. I don't know if you know what Endurofen is. It's a guy from, I want to say LIU. He created this brand. It's called Endurofen, but a lot of college or a lot of hockey Division One programs are sponsored by them, and it's like probably the best protein I've ever tasted, as long as it's mixed well. So yeah.
Well, protein
Tom.
powder has that problem though, being mixed well, no matter it kind of gets that chalky or gets stuck to the blender. And that's kind of like the nature of the beast when you're dealing with protein powder. So that's interesting. I've never heard of that, but that's always nice to, because I've coached a lot of athletes that have done Ironmans and half Ironmans and stuff like that. And all of a sudden you talk to them about, nutrition and you're like, well, what are you eating the night before a race? And they're, oh, this is what I have. And you're like, yeah, that's not going to go so well for you when you get out on the course, and that type of thing. Or you talk to them and you're like, well, how are you feeling during the race? And they're like, oh, I eat whatever. And you're like, well, how do you feel out on the run? They're like, I feel terrible. So, it's nutrition is such a huge part. And, you hit definitely on that thing. Sleep is paramount to staying healthy and resting and recovering for sure.
Tom, question?
As a woman, how often has it come up where you've run into some chauvinism and you feel like somebody trying to hold you back because of being a girl?
I mean, I would say it's kind of like a lack of respect when it comes to like being an athlete. I think a lot of like males and on the boys side of things, they perceive it as like, oh, well, it's easier to get to be a Division One athlete as a girl. And I do see why they would think that way, because when you look at a male pro hockey player and a woman pro hockey player, there are differences. But the thing is, we're competing against other females and the same as they're competing against other males. So I think sometimes that doesn't click. I do think on the coaching side of things, I think sometimes I coach for the boys for Atlantic Coast, and I think the boys are very shocked when I say, no, I'm a Division One athlete. Like I play Division One ice hockey, I play at Sacred Heart. And I don't think that exactly clicks all the time. They kind of just think I'm talking to hear myself talk rather than coaching. But I have fun with it. That's kind of the only time I ever like feel like I have to prove myself even more. But around Sacred Heart, I mean, I would say like fellow athletes, like we have a really good, I know some other schools, there's large discrepancies between what a men's team gets and what a women's team gets. I can tell you like at SHU, it's pretty equal, despite other than the fact like when the men's get donations that are like direct donations to their team, like whether that's like a helmet or like they have iPads and we don't. But like some of that stuff, I feel like that's, we don't really need iPads. We don't need chrome helmets. So I'm really grateful for the school I chose for doing that. But yeah.
A quick question. Favorite rink and favorite place that you've hockey has taken you?
Probably Bolzano, Italy. That's probably my favorite rink and favorite place hockey has taken me. It was like a super old barn. It almost like the wood going right across, almost like the way Yale looks, or if anyone's ever been to like Loring Arena, where it just scoops over the top and it's all wood, old. But then you'd walk out and it was just this, the Alps. Like the Alps were just right behind you. So I think that was probably the best rink. It was also really cold, so it was good ice. I hate when the ice is slow and Yeah, it's not for me.
Like a standard MDC rink.
Yeah, I'm playing in Beantown this weekend, and I got my schedule, and it said like at some Franklin rink. And I can tell you, Beantown and all the probably I've played Beantown since I was a U12. I've never played Beantown at the Franklin rink. Couldn't I don't think I've ever even been inside the Franklin rink. So.
It looks exactly like all the other ones. It's up on a hill. They all look the same. They're all built around that 1972 Bobby Orr boom. They all look the same. Plymouth, New Bedford, Fall River, Franklin, they all look the same. It's like you've been in one, you've been there, two small locker rooms, two big locker rooms, and yeah, it's time has passed. It's time to renovate those things, blow them out a little bit, make those locker rooms bigger, blow out the parking lot a little bit, put a mini rink in the back for the kids. Tom,
Something.
another question.
What's the best advice you could give to a young girl who sees you and sees how well you're doing, and they ask how they get to be where you are as a college player and beyond?
Looking back, I would say take like every skill session and every practice as seriously as possible. Like sometimes I look back and I think like I half-assed that like practice or that specific drill. And it's just like you're out on the ice. Ice is expensive. Now knowing as a coach how expensive it really is, like you got to make it worth it. I think I would have been a better hockey player if I had done that at a younger age. My dad would always say like, not paying for these skills just for you to like half-ass it, Kaylee. But I would also say have fun with it. I think recently coaching I had, we lost in a championship and I had a lot of girls that were really down on themselves and they're like U12s and I'm just like you this is the time to have fun. This is summer hockey. Like try new things. You're with people that you don't skate with normally, and like that's the best time. Like I've met some of my best friends at summer hockey that, like lived in the Midwest, and I'd only see them at a couple tournaments here or there, and now those girls are doing so many good things. Like they're at Wisconsin and they're on the national team or whatever it may be, and we're like still in contact. So I think just have fun with it and just make sure that every time you're out on the ice, you take full advantage of it.
Ed, question.
So, are you planning on coaching when you get done with college, or are you
So as
what's
of
your
right
major?
now,
What are you thinking?
yeah, so as of right now, I just took over the women's director with Ava Doyle for Atlantic Coast. So I've been coaching for Atlantic for the past 2 summers. I coached Framingham Youth Hockey with my dad growing up from when I was in middle school and high school. Whenever I could, I would. I don't know. I definitely see myself after hockey is over, either going to travel. I did a study abroad program earlier this summer, and I went to Ireland for 2.5 weeks. And I think just realizing like hockey was such a big part of my life. Like I really haven't had a vacation or anything, which I am very lucky to play at the rink I do and go to the school I do and play the sport I love so much. But I do think I want to see other parts of the world. Like I want to go on vacation and spend time with my family. Like my whole family lives in Maine now and I'm like down here. So I only see them, I've seen my family for 4th of July. And otherwise, I'm like coaching on the weekends or I'm training. So I think just taking some time off, figuring it out. But I am a sports marketing major and a business analytics minor. So I could see myself working within a women's program. I was an internship for NCAA for regionals when they were at the Bridgeport rink in 2023, I want to say it was. And I recently had an internship with WHOOP that just ended like a month ago. So I'm around the field. What that looks like when I graduate, I'm not really sure. But I think continuing to work for Atlantic, I mean, it brings me a lot of joy working with kids and like seeing their development. Even this past weekend, like those girls were definitely better than me at that age. So I mean, it's exciting to watch the younger generations and how they get so much better. Like even like with boys, like you listen, you'll watch boys and they'll be like, that kid was better than me at that age. Like I can't imagine how good he's gonna be now. So
So I have an item. I'm going to show you, and you tell me the first thing you think of when you see it.
Okay. Oh, your daughter. She asked me to sign a PUC. I mean, I can remember I met if anybody knows who Kayla Barnes is. So if I'm a defenseman. At SHU, I no longer play defense, but hoping to go back to there this year. And when I met Kayla Barnes, I literally started crying. And Kayla Barnes is only 4 or 5 years older than me. Like she was still playing in college my freshman year. So, yeah, I think it's just really cool that, like, you can be somewhat of a like role model to the younger girls, just like helping them and telling them things that you wish someone told you. I mean, I had a lot of great role models growing up. I had Katrin Lonergan, who played at BC and then transferred to Clarkson, and now she runs the Level Girls program. Jessie Jakes, who played at Maine, transferred to Merrimack. Her dad played at Maine as well. They run the Team One program. Just a lot of people around me that were great role models and really were focused on Division One hockey, and they kind of like helped pave the way for my generation and future generations, I'd say.
Well, I can definitely tell you that you made an impression on my youngest, and she is a fan. I don't
Thank
know,
you.
what you said in the locker room or how you handled her, because she can be a handful at times. She's like sandpaper, that one. So, but yeah, she definitely has nothing but high regard for you, coaching wise. I just. When I go to the rink and it's her and she has her own thing, I just stay on the sidelines. I don't get involved. I'm not one of those parents that, is co-coaching or one of those people that make deals in the car. Like if you score 3 goals, I'll buy you this. Or if
I
I
know,
score,
yeah.
I never do that. There's no side. I'm there for her. It's her journey, not mine. My coaching officially ended last year. I said, Kennedy, I'm done. That's it. I was hanging on for you and your brother, but it's too much. It's just the parents
I
burnt me
think
out. The
my dad
politics.
was like the same way. My dad stopped coaching, I think, when I started fighting him back on the bench about things he'd say. So I mean, I can even remember like in prep school, like I had such a bad, it was my sophomore year, and I had a stress fracture in my leg, and I didn't know it. I was being told it was shin splints, but it wasn't. And I had a terrible tournament, like terrible, like probably the worst hockey I've ever played. And I remember my dad walked out of the rink, and my dad would sit at like the top of the corner at Cushing. And my dad's big, like when he gets mad, he just sits there and you can like see his face. And I remember he walked out and I was like, oh God. But I honestly think it's worse that he wasn't coaching, because coaching on the bench, he can't leave and he just tells me. Whereas I think after the game, he was just like, no, I gotta go home, and just left. It was like craziest. It was the craziest thing, but I think it's better. I think I used to listen to other coaches more than I listened to my dad. Looking back, my dad was more accurate than some of the other coaches, but
But like I said, if I could just tell you personally while I have you on the podcast, that she has nothing but love and respect for you. And that's great. So hopefully you guys have made a connection. Hopefully maybe it grows from there. And if there's any way you want to push her a certain way that you see that works for her, I'm all for it.
I know she's a forward, but she's playing D. And I was the opposite. I came into college as a defenseman, and we had 12 defensemen. And I looked at my coach and I was like, do you mind if I go take a couple reps at forward? My coach was like, go for it, like whatever you want. And I didn't play my first game. I got healthy scratched our first scrimmage against Clarkson, and then we ended up having a girl that got hurt. And my coach was like, hey, Kaylee, I want you to play. Like, I've seen a lot of good things, but I want you to play as a fourth line forward. And I was like, huh? Well, you want me to do what? And I ended up playing, and then by the end of the year, I'd worked myself up to like first, second line, and then beginning of this year, I was starting with my first line and like maintained that. But my goal really is to go back to D. praying that happens this year, but you know, playing is better than not playing, I'd say.
Agree.
Yeah.
The question I have is the Professional Women's Hockey League, thoughts on that? Any aspirations to get involved with that?
I think it's great. I mean, they're doing a lot of great things for women's hockey. Personally, I think if I were going to play pro, I'd want to do it somewhere in Europe. I want to see the world. I don't really want to stay in Minnesota or Boston or wherever else. I have a teammate that's going. She actually's flying out in 2 days, I want to say. She's going to play over in Switzerland. It's going to be the coolest experience. I had a fifth year on my team who transferred from Colgate, and her twin sister played overseas. She loved it. I've heard a lot of good things about it, and I think that's totally my ballpark.
How did you end up making the decision to jump on board with Atlantic Coast while you were still, you know, and so involved with, you know, playing? How'd you make that?
I want to say last year was my first year coaching. Mike had reached out through like Instagram. I think I had followed the account because I saw on their boys' side, they do a bunch of like videos, like hype videos, where like MS Films will come and do like a video of the boys playing, whatever. I think I followed the account, and then he was talking to me about how they were starting a girls program. And Kayla Friesen was going to run it. And I was like, yeah, I'd be more than happy to come and coach, see how it goes. So I went and coached my first weekend with Ava Doyle, who coached a few games with me, and we really liked it. I think we worked with, they couldn't have been more than eight. I think we worked with like 8 year olds for boys, and then, found like a kind of a primary spot for like the what would they be, 2010s boys, which I felt was a really good age where the boys understood that you were a coach and had a level of respect for you. Any older was kind of like, I'm a 2004, so like some of the kids could have been in high school with me if I went any older, so I just like didn't want to do that. And then I think any younger, they were kind of in that age where they're like, you're a girl. So I love coaching them. I think they are like the best age group for boys. And on the girl side, I could coach any age group and have a good time. But I think deciding to take over the program on the girl side was a really hard decision. I definitely couldn't do by myself. But I found it to be pretty fulfilling, honestly, like filling rosters, knowing girls and like seeing their development, even the last like two summers, I mean, is crazy. And it's like fun to watch. It's really fun to watch. And it's a pleasure to be an outlet to girls who need some guidance in like the hockey world, or answer questions for parents that want to hear from someone who like recently went through prep school or recently was coached by this coach or that coach. I think it's a different, it's one thing to hear it from a prep school coach or from a college coach, but it's another thing to hear it from a student or a player.
Tom, question?
Yeah. Is there anything you learned as a player that you've taken with you and used as a head coach?
Yeah, I would say being positive. I think in high school, I struggled a lot with, if I was playing bad, I would just be a negative attitude. So I definitely think emphasizing that to girls playing, that it has larger repercussions than you would think. Like college coaches notice your body language. They notice your attitude. Other coaches notice it. So I would say catching on to that faster. I mean, I still kind of struggle with it a little bit in college, just maintaining a like positive attitude when I'm not playing my best. But I think constantly telling that to the girls, we were in a championship game and it was 2-1 and a girl got a penalty. And I had a lot of girls gave up. Like we had like, I think a minute 30 left and a lot of girls were just like, why should we even try? Like, we're not going to score. And it was like we had beaten the team before, so it was really hard to watch. And I think just once I got into the locker room afterwards, I think my biggest thing telling the girls was like, you guys gave up. You gave up on that game way before it was over. And just it was an attitude issue. It was an attitude and effort issue, truly. And like they really could have won that game. It's just, I don't think they came out as prepared as they could have been. They were kind of like, oh, we rolled over this team the first game and now we're just going to go do it again. And I mean, the tournament wasn't the greatest competition. We had beaten a couple teams in the double digits. So I think they were on a high and then didn't really realize what they were up against. But I would just say continuously telling girls like, yep, have a good attitude. Like you're here to have fun. It's summer hockey. You don't even have to worry about recruitment yet. Like just have fun with it while you can, because then it gets serious and then it's like it almost it's a job to a certain extent.
Tom, follow-up question.
Yeah, actually, I'm going to flip that now. And what have you learned as a coach that you could take back as a player?
I think in reverse, that is still making sure I'm having fun at hockey. Like as much as hockey is fun for me, it truly is. Like we have a great team. I have a 34-man roster this year at SHU, which means where everyone's gonna be like kind of fighting tooth and nail for playing time. But I think that's the best part about it, is I'm playing on a team where it's like you don't know if you're gonna be in that roster, so you better work your ass off all week to be in that roster come Thursday night. And I kind of live off of that. I strive off of that kind of pressure, is like understanding like I know what I need to do in order to be the player I need to be in that lineup. So yeah, I would say still having fun with it, but like within that, like working your butt off. And like I think a lot of girls I was coaching, they love to stay out for 3 minutes, or like we had some long shifts and they just wouldn't listen to come off. And I remember a quote my dad used to tell me, or not even a quote, just saying he was like, if you're staying out for longer than 1:30 to 1 minute, like you're not skating hard enough. You're not, like you're not working hard enough off the puck. You're not winning your one-on-one battles. Like you should be bagged by the end of that 45-second shift. So reminding myself that too, that I should become, I mean, definitely I'm in shape, but be bagged, like work my butt off. So yeah.
The tournament was great from a parent perspective, but I can see everything exactly what you're talking about as far as the outcome. It was tough. It was tough watching it after you rolled over a few of those teams, and then at the end to walk away with nothing. And the team that they lost to was finished third. They knocked off the, so it was very disappointing. That was a tough Sunday for the
I think
Clark
they brought in some girls. I
family.
think they
That
brought in a couple girls, because
let,
I don't remember that team being as good as that, but
so I'm glad that you said that, because I wasn't gonna say that. The goalie's dad was adamant about that, and
yeah.
I asked my daughter if there was any different players, and she said she. At least one, she said,
Yeah.
was not there on,
I
for the.
think there was Beantown was going on as well. And I think Militia probably put in two teams. Beantown was definitely a better tournament. So in the future, I think we'll do Beantown instead of that Tropical Meltdown. Just for competition wise, like you want to play better teams. But I think Militia took a better team, put it in Beantown. That team got knocked out. And I'm thinking she took some of the girls and put them over for the championship game, because them beating Level was crazy. But yeah, I remember we were down like 2-0 and we saw like 15 minutes left and the girls were just so down. So I literally took a timeout and I was like, we gotta fix this. Like whatever mojo is going on, like needs to sway. And we were on them. I think if we had another like 5 minutes, I think we would have won that game. But
Yeah, or a second period.
I
You know what
know.
I mean? It was only one period. That was a tough to kind of
Yeah.
swallow. But it is what it is, right? It's hockey. It's
Yeah,
summer hockey.
it is. It's summer hockey, exactly.
Ed, question before we wrap everything up.
I'd have to say, What's your favorite pizza that you have to go through in Bridgeport? That I'm gonna go
Oh,
totally off the rails.
I work at Colony Grill in Milford. There's one in Fairfield. It's very, very good. I'm working there during the school year, and can tell you it's one of my favorites. Dave Portnoy does pizza reviews.
Oh, Presidente, yeah.
And he reviewed it, and it was a high review, but yeah, definitely Colony Grill. It's owned by an old New York Rangers hockey player. I forget his
Okay.
name, but it's a franchise, and I think there's like three locations.
Is it Chris Drury that owns that? It might be.
Exactly.
Yeah. Oh, that hockey community, you can't get away from it.
No, you can't. I'm pretty sure that's why I got the job. I was like, I play hockey at CHU, looking for like a one shift a week. He's like, yeah, sure.
Awesome.
Well, if you ever hop on the ice with anybody from the boys team, Brandon Cardelli, I went to high school with his dad at Bishop Stang. So,
Okay, good
and
to
then
know.
and then my youngest brother actually graduated from Sacred Heart as well. So,
Oh, nice.
I'm
So
living down here.
I mean, it's have you has he seen it recently?
I don't think he's been down since he graduated, to be honest with you.
I think you guys should come down because it is crazy, all of the new dormitories they've built. We literally it looks like BC. Like we literally just look like a smaller BC. It's crazy. I mean, we just finished one and it's beautiful. It literally looks over, like you can kind it's above all everything else. You can see like the tree line and everything like that. It's crazy.
No kidding. Sounds
Thomas,
beautiful.
questions, but
Yeah, my last question is, if you could do it all over again, is there anything you'd do differently?
skate harder.
yeah, skate harder. I would play less summer tournaments or like tournaments that didn't really matter. I think looking back, I think they were fun as a kid, but I think I could have kind of gotten better through skills. I did like a lot of those like 6 week camps that were like on ice skills, off ice. I loved those. I think those were great. I wouldn't do the tournaments that aren't great, like not great competitive kind of atmosphere, just kind of out there to skate. I think in high school I did more of those. I did like tournaments that were like with my friends and they're fun and they weren't getting me better and I was essentially wasting my parents' money looking back at it. So I would do a lot of skills and a lot of in the gym.
Well, I'm gonna probably wrap it up, Kaylee, and I just want to say from the Clark family, you left an impression on the daughter.
I'm glad.
I had to do this interview when she wasn't home, so she wouldn't bother me about
Oh,
the whole talking to you and don't say this, she said that, or don't say I was crying on the bench when we lost, or crying in the locker room. I just swiped this puck
you
from.
saw her. I said to her, I was like, you're fine. Like, you played great. And
She's super competitive, unlike
yeah.
her mother. She's super competitive. She gets that from the old man.
I know
That's
a couple times she was like on the bench and had a really angry face on, and I walked over and
well.
go, "You okay?" She was like, "Yeah." I go, "Is it the game or is it like something outside of the game?" She was like, "The game." I
Yeah. Oh yeah. Oh,
was like, "Okay."
you've only seen a small dose. Imagine a whole season of that.
I mean, it's a good attitude to have though. It'll get her places. I think it's better to
Hopefully.
be competitive than not be competitive.
Yeah, we'll have to circle those wagons when it's time to look at prep schools, because I'm coming to you. You'll still be in touch with her, hopefully through.
Most of the prep school coaches are the same because I reached out. I have to fill a U16 roster, and I reached out to like a couple that I know that still coach, like the Williston coach that had recruited me, the Westminster, Cushing, New Hampton. I reached out to them. I was like, "Hey, who's on your recruitment list for U16s, and can I have their names and their numbers?"
And the price list of how much it is and versus where I can get
Oh
a
yeah.
discount
We can go over that. Yeah. What who
and
gives out a lot of financial aid? Because some schools give out none. I could take that. I mean, I think I looking back, I got a really good offer from Vermont Academy. It was like 12 a year. And I was like, why did I do that to my parents? Why didn't I just go? But I mean, I wanted to be closer to home. Vermont Academy would have been really far.
Well, I'll send her to Bora Bora if I can go for free with
I
her.
know.
Yeah, just
Yeah.
let her go. If it's
Yeah.
costing an arm and a leg, it's we're gonna cross it right off the list,
Well,
right off the bat.
the thing you basically get screwed on though is the fact that you play prep school, then you also have to play club, like the split season. So I would even look into like Naha, like an academy where it's like, yeah, you can still go to your high school after. Like we have a freshman coming in. She's from Suffield, Connecticut. She's really good. She's a defenseman. I skate with her every Monday night. And she went to Naha, but still graduated at her public high school. So she would go and play the hockey season and do her like still stay with the school. So whether that was online classes or like doing whatever the teachers gave her for work. So staying with that school system. And then when this hockey season was over, she would go right back into school, which I thought was like really cool. You're not spending like, I think prep school's like 65 a year now, plus whatever. I mean, I think my club was like 2,500, I want to say, if that's probably going up.
You want me to have a heart attack on the
So, I mean,
podcast?
I would look at those personally. I mean, I think looking back, Naha was in Vermont when I was growing up, and Bishop Kearney was out in, I think it's Rochester, New York, and I just couldn't imagine going that far away from home. Like Cushing was perfect. It was an hour away. I'd see my parents every Wednesday, and they'd pick me up Saturday nights after games, and I'd go play, and I'd go have a practice and play on a Sunday, and they'd drive me back, and then I'd see him again on Wednesday. I mean,
Crazy.
even down at CHU, everyone's like, oh, Kaylee's parents are here. Like, my parents are here every game, no matter where it is. And even like, my dad is retired now. So he'll come down and like, I don't have classes on Wednesdays or Fridays. And we'll grab like dinner or lunch on Wednesdays after practice. So it's only like 2 hours from my house. It's perfect.
The hockey community, it's
Yeah.
crazy. If you're not a
Yeah.
part of it, you don't understand the road miles, the car
Yeah,
rides,
you
the
don't.
Yeah, they're eating like junk. I mean, it's terrible. It's
Yeah.
terrible, but it's fun, and it all hopefully in your case it all paid off. That's the
No,
best.
definitely. I
Yeah.
can't imagine being or skating at another rink besides this one. I
It,
mean,
when it.
going from Cushing to this is great. I mean, Cushing was phenomenal. Cushing's one of the nicest kind of prep school rinks and locker room. And then going into Sacred Heart was like, okay, I'm good with this. I'll stay here for the next 4 years.
Yeah. So why don't we wrap it up, and I know you want to get your sleep, and it's a work night for us regular people. I gotta work to pay for these tournaments and gas and things like that, but I just want to say thank you from the family for
Yeah.
everything you did with Kennedy this past tournament, and hopefully it's started something great. Hopefully, when hockey season starts, we were heavy on the Stanley Cup. We're heavy during the podcast. We'll have you back on for a regular episode, and
Yeah, I'm excited, definitely.
yuck it up with the boys. I'm gonna have to send you some swag too, something. You let me know
Yeah.
a sweatshirt, t-shirt, hat. You let me know what you would be into, and
Definitely.
I'll get it to you
If we
next.
can make a trade with a free tournament for a sweatshirt.
Free tournament. Oh, I'm all for that. That's the most expensive sweatshirt ever. Just you need two? I give you two for a free tournament. Jeez.
We have one coming up. We have Lady Militia.
Oh, that's gonna see. Here's I don't want to end on a sour note. So I wanted to tell you that it's
Oh,
gonna be
God.
tough because her Spitfires winter
Yeah.
team is
I
going
did.
in, and they want, of
Yeah.
course, I don't
They
know if
want
you
all the
know.
girls to play.
Right. And
Yeah.
she's in high demand, so maybe if it was we'll have to talk shop, because I
Yeah,
like my
definitely.
arm can be twisted, I will
Yeah.
say that. But
Okay, perfect.
so
Love to
three
hear it.
three hoodies now you need. Two
Yeah, sounds
to
great.
come back on, and one for a free tour. I'll take it.
Yeah.
We'll talk. We'll barter off air.
Perfect.
So guys, you want to thank Kaylee for coming on, and
Oh,
I'll close out.
absolutely. Thanks for coming on. It was great.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, thank
Yeah.
you so much for coming on. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
It was a
Yeah.
breath of
Yeah.
fresh air.
You're part of the
Thank you.
family now. You're part of the
Perfect.
1973 podcast family, officially.
Love it.
I love
Love
it too.
it.
Thanks, Kaylee. I appreciate it.
Yep.